If you have your copy of Scripture, I want to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to begin us with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in. So it'll be Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. And Father God, as we take this time now to be able to hear from you, I pray that you would still our hearts. And that you would take the songs that we took time to be able to sing, and that you would begin to bring and to reinforce those truths into our hearts and into our minds, that the sorrows that we may be carrying with us, that we don't have to continue to hold them. The pain that we're continuing to carry, we don't have to continue to carry, but we can lay it down. To be able to walk with you every single day in a culture that it seems like no one else is, I pray that you would give us the faith and to find the strength to be able to follow after you. And so I pray that as a result of our time, that we would be strengthened and encouraged to be able to follow you more fully and to experience you more profoundly. God, help us in our trust of you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to begin by reading our passage today, and then we'll talk a little bit and then get right back to the text. But Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. If you don't have a copy of the word, it'll be up on the screens behind me so you can follow along. But it says this, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So that's where we're going to be at today. But I want to begin just by asking you, why are we talking about, why are we spending so much time as a family to be able to talk about prayer and fasting? Why is it that you think that we're spending this time to be able to focus in on these two spiritual habits or disciplines? Is it because we desire for us as a church family to be really religious and to be able to look really good? There we go. No, we don't care if you look religious. Remember, what have we been trying to outlay? What is the purpose of prayer? Is the purpose of prayer to get things from God? Okay, we need a little bit of reminder. Okay, everybody just take a... there we go. All right. Thank you, Adam. He's got my back. The purpose of prayer is not to get things from God, but it is actually relationship with Him. The purpose of prayer is relationship with God. And so we've also talked about the fact that God in His Word tells us that the most important thing about every single one of us is not the things we do. It's not how you earn money. It's not if you're married or not. It's not if you have kids or not. It's not about accomplishments. The single most important thing about you is your relationship with God. And that's not up for debate, man. That's the word. So if that is the most important thing, relationship with God, then shoot, we better talk about it, right? We better talk about how we can, not only as a body, as a family, but man, how can we as individuals grow in that relationship with God? Tim and I are not trying to gatekeep anything. We don't have the secret sauce about anything. We're trying to figure this out, and Tim won't be offended if I just, I don't even know where he is. Where is he? He's right there. You won't be offended if I say that we're a hot mess. Yeah, okay, see? See, we're a hot mess just trying to figure it out, all right? But listen, what we're striving to do is we want personally to experience God more profoundly in our personal life. And because Tim and I want that in our own personal life, it is changing everything that we're trying to do as a family, because we want you to experience God for yourself. We want to be unleashed to be able to be the people of God, so we could do the will of God, so that people run away from the darkness and be able to begin a relationship with Him. That's what's motivating. And so we're spending so much time to be able to talk about prayer and fasting, because we want to flesh this out so we can all grow in that relationship with God. And so before we begin going wherever this series takes us, I told you, we're kind of a little bit of an organized hot mess, okay? But we're just trying to pursue the heart of God. The last couple weeks, we spent some time to be able to hear from some of you about how do they pray. We had some great discussions. And then last week, Tim and Lori talked about, man, how can families pray? So we got some practical. But before we continue to get in to be able to see what the Word of God says about prayer and fasting, I want us to just be able to get in and zone in so we understand why. Why are we talking about prayer and fasting? We're not trying to make you pursue this religious thing just to be a good person. We want you to trust God more profoundly in your life. I want you to trust God more profoundly in your life. And so we're talking about prayer and fasting, because prayer and fasting are tools to train your soul how to trust God. Okay, I don't know if you heard me or not, because you guys are still looking. So let's go back. This, if you learn one thing, this is all I want you to walk away with. Man, prayer and fasting are tools to be able to train your soul how to trust God. So that's why we're getting after it. Man, I want you to have a relationship with Him, but I want you to trust Him. I want you to trust Him. And from the very beginning of this word, the very first couple, the first page, we see that this is the battle line of all humanity. The battle line is not about, do you know enough about God? The battle line is, do you trust Him? Right? In the garden, it wasn't a battle about if they should eat a fruit or not. The battle was Adam and Eve going to trust that what God said was good? Or are they going to do, lean on their own understanding and be like, you know what? I think I know better than God. I want to take that and eat. There's a battle of trust. And then go throughout the whole Old Testament, and we see examples of men and women that they do really great when they trust in God. And then the moment that they begin to trust in themselves and they begin to feel themselves and they're like, oh yeah, I'm kind of cool. I'm kind of like that. What happens? We can talk. It's cool. We can talk. They fail. They fall. They hurt people. Kingdoms crumble. There's darkness. Perversion slips in. When we do things on our own understanding, it leads us away from God and it leads us to hurt other people. And so what I want us to be able to do, we're talking about prayer and fasting. I want you to be able to understand that you trust yourself way too much. You trust yourself way too much. And you're like, how dare you say that, Chris? How do I know? because I trust myself too much. That's the battle line. And listen, God is in his grace is inviting us to a better way of life. We do not have to rely on ourselves. But the invitation from the God of the universe is like, hey, Chris, would you stop trying to do it on your own? And would you rely on me? Would you learn to trust me? Right? That's the battle line, right? Proverbs 3, it's one of the first verses that a lot of us teach our kids. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Then look at verse 7. It says, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Right? So what is it saying? It's saying exactly what we're talking about. This battle line is on trust. Right? Do we live like that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Man, I'm growing. I'm getting better at that. But there's a lot of days in which I function like this. I trust in myself with all of my heart. And I lean on my own understanding. And in the ways that's convenient for me, I acknowledge God and I ask him to bless my steps. Am I alone or is that how we all... I told you, we're a hot mess trying to figure this out. But listen, it doesn't have to be that way. That's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about Scripture. Is that God is saying, man, you don't have to bear the weight of the world on your shoulders. Man, Christ did that. Christ did that on our behalf. So what we get to do as people who have entered into relationship with him is we get to learn how to daily not lean on ourselves, but to lean on him. Not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in him. And that's a process. But that's the invitation for all of us. And it takes practice, man. It takes practice. Right? The Bible describes this process of growing in this. It describes it in like warlike language. So does growing in prayer feel like a battle to any of you? Does it feel really difficult at times? Does it feel like it is some times of ups and then some times of downs? Feels like, man, I could punch Satan in the face today. And other times you're like, dang, I just got spanked. That's not good. Right? It's this all over the place. Right? But Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, man, you train yourself. Bodily training is of good value. It's good to train our bodies, take care of our bodies. But he's saying, man, in the way that athletes train themselves, man, we should be training ourselves spiritually. Why? Because the ingrained mode of you and I is to trust ourselves. And when we trust ourselves, we lead ourselves away. Later on, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, man, I discipline my body the way that a boxer disciplines himself. And he goes on to say, why? Why is he disciplining his body? So that he's in control of his body. Right? What's the deal? How many of us are controlled by our body? We do what our bodies tell us to do. Right? And Paul's like, man, there's an element of the spiritual life that we need to train ourselves. And that's where prayer and fasting comes in, where we discipline our bodies and we say, yo, flesh, desires, lusts, I'm not listening to you, but I'm going to bring you into submission to the Lord. And that's where fasting comes in. That's where whatever God is going to be prompting on your hearts to be able to press in. Yo, if you keep doing whatever your body tells you to do, you're in a heap of trouble. If you feel like you're stuck in a battle of sin and you can't overcome it, we so want the miraculous prayer of healing. And that happens sometimes. But listen, sometimes you need a little bit more discipline. Sometimes I need a little bit more discipline. And that's what God is saying. Man, I've given you prayer. I've given you scripture reading. I've given you fasting to be able to discipline yourselves so you can learn how not to trust in yourselves, but you can learn in the midst of that struggle to trust in me. So prayer and fasting, man, it is this invitation for us to train our souls to trust in God. And the stakes are high. The stakes are really high. Because if we get this wrong, then we're going to continue to just be stuck and to continue to just trust in ourselves. We're going to continue to be exactly where we are spiritually. You're going to continue to know all these things about God, but never experience him for yourself. And so that's the invitation. Man, that's why we're talking about prayer and fasting, because I want you to have a breakthrough. I want you to be able to experience God if you've not experienced him before. I want you to experience the fact that he is with you in the midst of the chaos of your life. I want you to experience that peace of God that Philippians 4 is going to talk about. But if you're not willing to be able to press into these disciplines, man, here's the warning. So if you still have your scripture, man, go to Philippians 3. We're going to go Philippians 3, verse 17 through 19. And I just want to show, man, the stakes are high. If we don't press in, if we just allow this to be information that we learn about God and it doesn't trickle down into our souls, man, there's some strong warnings for that. And here's one of them in Philippians 3, starting in verse 17. Paul says this, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. All right, so pause. So what is he saying? Paul's coaching. He's showing us that he's speaking to people that are maybe newer in their faith. He's talking to somebody that's not as far along on the journey as he is. And what is he saying? Yo, you could do this on your own. It's cool. Is that what he said? You can talk to me. We have the text right in front. We're going to stay strapped to this thing, so don't worry. What does he say? Join in what? Following, imitating me, right? So is Paul just arrogant? No, he's not being arrogant here. Paul is closer to God than these people reading this. And so he's saying, hey, if you want to get to where I am, if you want to experience God the way I have, you have to do some stuff. You got to put in the work. You got to imitate. You got to practice these things, right? And he says, but hey, also follow, keep your eyes on those who walk according to this example as well, right? He keeps going. Verse 18. This is the danger. For many of whom I have often told you, and now even tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. So feel the weight of that. So the stakes are high, that if we just have this mental thing and you don't experience God, you don't press in to get to know God, man, the danger is, man, you may walk away from Christ. That's danger. I don't want any of you to walk away. Right? But look, I want you to look at the text. We're going to put it right back up there. How did they get there? Notice, what does it say? With mindset on what? Earthly things. Okay, so does the Bible anywhere talk about demons? Okay, so in the Bible, there's a word to be able to talk about the demonic, right? Okay, does the Bible ever use the word sin? Yeah, it does, right? Okay, there are some things that break the heart of God, not good, right? So could he have used the word to say with mindset on demonic things? He could have, right? He could have said, with mindset on sinful things. But what did he say? earthly things. All right, so feel the weight of this. So when we get our minds set on the here and now, when we allow ourselves to only get fixated and focused on putting out fires here, about how I feel and what I want and what people want of me and making sure that I have enough money and all these earthly things, are they bad? They're not even necessarily bad things. But he's saying, man, their mind is set, is fixed on these earthly things. What happens? Man, it leads you onto a path of destruction. It leads you onto a path where your God is your belly. What does that mean? It just means that now all of a sudden, because you're focused here, you just want to do what you want to do. You've got no discipline, so you're not keeping yourself away from things that you shouldn't look at. You're not keeping yourself away from, you know, that one drink that turns into two drinks, that turns into three drinks. You're not keeping yourself from the things. And so before you know it, now you are your own God. It's psycho. It's dangerous. And then he keeps going. He says, man, they glory in their shame. So they're proud, they're parading in things, they're making a really big deal about things that actually show how shameful and how far away they've wandered from the truth. That's a steep slide, isn't it? And how'd they get there? With minds set on earthly things, right? And so that's why, hey, we could take a deep breath. That's the bad news, okay? But the Bible doesn't end there. That's why God, in his grace, gifts us prayer. He gifts us fasting. He gifts us this family that we get to call church. He gifts us his word so that we can be able to acknowledge what's going on inside of us and be like, man, I think I'm trusting in my own understanding here. God, help me. God, help me. I don't want to wander from you. I don't want my mind to be plagued with these earthly things because I don't want to fool myself into thinking I'm living an amazing life when actually I'm just leading myself astray. The battle line is there. But that's the beautiful thing. That's why Christ came. Man, Christ came to live the life that you and I should have lived. And to die the death that you and I deserve to die because we trust in ourselves and we turn our back on him. Every single one of us do. But in that rebellion, in that trusting in ourselves, if we would turn and we would put our trust in Jesus, he's inviting us not only to be forgiven and saved, but he's also showing us a new way of life. Man, when I feel like I'm living this life without the power of God, it is exhausting. And how did I get there? Because I'm living on my own understanding. And so that's the beautiful thing about God, is that he makes us aware of how we're trusting in ourselves. And he says, yo, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? And that's what prayer and fasting is this invitation to be able to train our souls not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in him. So Philippians chapter 4, let's look at it and let's see how we can grow. How does prayer help us? All right, so it starts off by Paul is trying to tell us, hey, the first thing that you need to do if you want to be able to grow in this relationship with God, you want to grow in your prayer life, you have to direct your mind so your mind doesn't direct you. Prayer helps us to direct our mind so our mind doesn't direct me. Right? How do I know this? What does he say? He tells us in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Right? Again, I will say rejoice, right? And so what is he saying? Man, bring to your mind, Are we supposed to just pull out of thin air things to rejoice in? Or what does he say? Rejoice in what? Look at the text. It says rejoice in the what? In the Lord, right? So he's saying, man, the very first thing that we should do is direct our mind to whom? To who? Which one is that? Either way, we're cool. I'm not an English person. It's fine. All right. The very first thing we're supposed to do is direct our mind to fix our eyes on him, right? And when we do, we rejoice. We tell ourselves about who he is. We remind ourselves of the truth of Scripture, and that directs our affections and our attention, right? But then, because you don't believe me, look at verse 8. What does he say? Is that controlling our mind? Is that directing our mind on what we should think about? He says, man, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, think about those things. Man, that in and of itself is hard to do. Right? And why? We'll just pick the first one. Whatever's true. Man, how many of you make your own definition of what is true in a moment? Wait, Craig, you're looking, you're like, okay, let me explain. Okay. So something really bad happens, and then you say, you jump to conclusion in your mind, and you're like, oh man, this is definitely going to happen. And because this is going to happen, I'm stressed now. And I got to do this, 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 and this. So now I've based my life based off of what I think is true in my own understanding, right? And I become this big stress ball. I worry, and I become very anxious. I'm very short with Marissa because that's just what happens when I'm anxious. And it's just not good. See, my own understanding leads me away from God, the peace of God, right? You guys all feel that. Don't act like I'm alone, okay? You guys all feel that, right? But what does it say? Does it say, man, based off what you think is true? No, man, it says go to the truth. Right, so part of prayer is to be able to incorporate the word of God. So he says, man, if you're stressed out, if you're anxious, if you feel like you're trusting in your own understanding, man, get to the text. Read it and be so honest to be able to say, God, I don't feel this. Your word tells me that everything's going to work out for my good because I trust in you, but I don't feel that right now, so help me to feel that. You tell yourself, fix your mind, direct your mind on the truth of God, and that will help direct your affections and your attention. It will train your soul to what is actually true. Right? So he tells us to direct our mind so our mind doesn't direct you. The second thing he says, man, just pray. What does he tell us in verse 6? He says, do not be anxious about what? Anything. And then he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? So what is he saying? I love that this is acknowledgement of our humanity, right? So does he say, never get anxious? That's not a trick question, man. I'm trying to, man, look at it. Does it say, never be anxious? Right? Do not be anxious about anything. So what is this training us to do? It's training us to view our anxiety as like this signal, this like little flag. Like, yo, you're stressed out. You're worried. Hey, you're thinking about earthly things here. How many of you have been worried about how much God loves you? How many of you have been overwhelmed and you feel anxiety because you are accepted and embraced by God? I haven't experienced that. If you have, then you could tell me and I will be corrected. But man, when I feel that anxiety and I force myself to be able to go to the throne room of grace, man, that anxiety leaves. Why? Because I'm not focused on this earthly things. I'm not focused on the things that don't matter. I'm not focused on temporary things which may be uncomfortable for a moment. But I'm fixing my eyes and my attention on God. And what does he say? When you feel that flag, what does it say? What is that an invitation to do? Man, pray. So does it say you can only take the really big requests to God? Man, he says, man, if you feel anxious about anything, anything, if you get anxious that your shoes don't fit right, what is the invitation here? It's a silly example, but it's saying, man, in everything by prayer, take it to God. Everything. You feel that little anxiety raging. You feel that worry. You feel, hey, my way doesn't seem like it's going to work out. When your spirit, when your body, when your mind gives you that signal, hey, things aren't going well, that's a cue for you. Yo, train your soul to trust in God, not yourself. And you take those things. He says, take those requests to God. Supplication is pleading. It's crying out, God, will you please answer? And then thanksgiving is remembering all the ways that he has come through for you in the past. He's saying, man, in everything, take that to God. And then the promise is what? Verse 7. What happens when we let go? Does God just allow us to just sit in it? We will have peace. What does it say? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Where does anxiety rule and reign inside of you? Heart, mind, right? So did it say, hey, that God will take away what is burdening you? Not necessarily, but it did say that the peace which surpasses understanding will guard and protect your mind and your heart, right? So this is the beautiful invitation that all of us, we struggle, we feel like we're not good enough, we try to do things on our own and we get frustrated that we're not, that we didn't do it or that we failed again. And what is this invitation? Man, stop and just come to the King. Would you just trust in God? And when we get to that place, when we trust in him, he meets us there with that peace. But how do we do that? Man, we got to practice. We got to practice. What does verse 9 say? Again, Paul is circling back to chapter 3 that we read, and he's saying, man, what you have learned, what you have received, what you have heard, and what you have seen in me, what does he say? Practice these things. And what happens when we practice these things? The peace of God will be with you. So again, what's the purpose of prayer? Relationship with God, right? The struggle is that we want to hold on so much. We want to do it ourselves. And what God is inviting every single one of us to do is, man, will you trust me? Will you just trust me with that? What? Why are you carrying that on your own? Man, turn that over to me. Okay. And on the other side of this is breakthrough. I'm going to just let all of you know that. That if you would begin, as I would begin to press in and allow prayer and fasting to train my soul to trust in God, what begins to happen is I begin trusting in God. And so then when I come across another battle, then I'm like, oh man, I've seen him come through for me before. Then what am I going to do right now? Is he going to leave me high and dry? No, I trusted him then. I'm going to trust him now. And I press in, even though it doesn't make sense. And I say, God, I'm scared to take this step. I don't know what this would mean for my marriage, what this will mean for us financially. But you know what? I'm going to take that step. And as I take that step and as I trust in God, what happens? As I turn it over to him, he says, man, that peace of God will guard my heart and my mind. It's about relationship. It's not about getting things out of God, but it's about meeting the person of God in your situation. And so I want to ask you, here's the ask. Are you content with your own understanding? Are you content with where you are right now, with what you know about God and what you've experienced Him? So if you're like me, the answer to that is a big no. So then what are we to do? Man, let's press in. Let's press in. Let's learn how to pray. Let's learn how to fast. Let's learn how to control our bodies so that we're not controlled by our bodies. Let's learn how to put in these disciplines. Why? Just so that we're doing these things to make ourselves feel religious? No. It's so that we can experience God. So we can experience breakthrough for our families. So we can experience breakthrough and a move of God in this county and in this region. Man, we are praying that we experience some things that would scare you guys. Just so you know. And it involves all of y'all. So I'm just begging you, man, when you press in and you meet the person of God in your mess, you experience His peace and then you get prepared for what's coming next. So man, let's rise. Let's go after it. Let's not be content with what we've experienced. Let's not be content with where we are. Let's not be content with continuing to struggle with the same sin over and over again. Let's get some people around us. Let's put some new disciplines in and let's push forward. It is a fight because we are fighting against our flesh or fighting against our own desire to do what we want to do. And that's hard. But when we bring our bodies into submission to the Lordship of Jesus, there is life. So that's the invitation. Let's press in. And so if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, man, that's the first step. I would love to help you understand. I'd love to talk with you. And I'll scare the people next to you as well. The people next to you would love to tell you about this Jesus. Man, He came and He lived this life so you don't have to live on your own. So would you trust Him today? I'm going to invite the team to come on up. And they're going to lead us in a song. But I'm going to close this in prayer. And if there's something that you need prayer for, man, come forward. Ask somebody next to you. Grab Pastor Tim, myself, anybody. We would love to pray with you. Why? Because God invites us to bring everything to Him. So let's pray. So, Father, we're thankful for the fact that You love us, that You know every single one of us, that You care for us so much, that You took on flesh and You lived this life, and You were mistreated in our place. You died in our place so that if we would come to the realization that we need You, if we would trust in You, that we would be forgiven. And that we would have eternal life. And that while we're still on this side of eternity, we can learn to trust You with everything. And so I pray for the things inside of each one of our hearts that we're holding so tightly to. I pray right now in this moment that we would let go and that we would trust in You. And I pray that as we get to go celebrate baptisms in just a little bit, I pray that that would inspire and awaken faith inside every single one of us. That is a living picture of the fact that we are not trusting in ourselves anymore. But that is dead and gone. And now we're raising to walk in that newness of life. So Father, encourage us and send us to be the church of God. We love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.